I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Rani Levy. She's founder and president of Kids First, Coalition for Quality Children's Media. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be back here again.
It's great to have you. Now, there's going to be some events happening coming up this week, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But first of all, let's talk about what the Coalition for Quality Children's Media is. Seems like a very worthy endeavor just from the get-go.
Thank you. Well, we are a 22-year-old nonprofit, 501c3 organization, and our core mission is to educate children to help them become conscientious media users rather than little targets for marketing campaigns that come at them from, as you know, from every direction these days.
And from what I've read, companies are hiring psychologists to understand children's psychology so that they can advertise to them. It used to be at 6 years old and then 3 years old, and now they're advertising to, what, infants and toddlers?
They're ruthless.
Yeah.
You know, they want to, the thing is, they want to get kids connected to their brand from as early an age as possible. And, you know, that's not always a bad thing, but it does seem rather divisive, doesn't it?
Well, it's manipulative and, I mean, has nothing to do with the quality of life of those children.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So, henceforth, that's why we started this program, and we have always had kids involved in reviewing the media that we review. We use a two-step process using a group of both adults and children, and we've been doing that for 22 years. What we're going to talk about today, though, is a fairly new project for us. We're going into our fourth year of our Kids First Film Critics program.
I love this. So you've got teenage kids reviewing films as if they were newspaper reviewers before the film even comes out to the theaters.
We have kids, teenagers, and as young as age seven. We do an annual competition to find these kids, and it's open to anybody in the U.S., that includes Alaska and Hawaii, between the ages of 7 and 15. So our competition is underway right now. It goes on through the end of the year, and it's very simple. There's four steps that the kids need to do to enter the competition. The first one is they need to review one of the official films in the competition, and those are this year Planes, which of course came out earlier this year in the theaters. It just came out to DVD a couple of weeks ago. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, the same thing. Dear Dumb Diary, which is a new Hallmark movie, which is also available in DVD. Iron Man and the Hulk Heroes United, that's my, should I say, token boys program, without meaning to say gender specific. Now all my girls will say, oh, but I love that.
Exactly.
And Christmas Bounty, which is another direct-to-DVD show that's really geared more for a teen audience. So they watch one of those films, and then they submit to us both a written review and a videotape review. So the cool thing that happens with the kids, I always say everybody's a winner, whether you know, are selected as one of the official film critics or not, is the learning experience that you go through, just the process of writing that review and then videotape that review. You have to be on camera, present yourself, you know, make your point in 90 seconds or less.
It's 90 seconds?
Uh-huh. Because you know what? People don't listen to longer than that.
People, so, meaning?
People, the public. Our reviews that our kids do, our videotape reviews, are 90 seconds long.
And now, do kids basically use the camera, the built-in camera on their computers and that kind
of
thing?
A lot of them do. They can use any camera that they want. And what we find is that the parents usually become their camera people. So, you know, some people have nice video cameras, others don't. The thing is, those who become a winner will have to create it in high res, because everybody now wants to show it in high res.
Right.
So once they get the videotape review and the written review submitted to us. Then they have to find people to vote for them.
Ah.
So it's...
Oh, so you guys aren't the judges.
No, we're not. The public determines the finalists.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what. In past years, our kids have brought in more than 11 million votes for themselves.
Heavens. How do they do that?
Well, remember we were talking earlier about how smart they are?
Right.
4 years ago when we first started this program, and the votes started piling in, and my staff would come in and go, we have 2 million votes. And I go, no, you're kidding.
So they're just superb networkers, essentially.
Yeah,
they're using social media.
They're getting social media. They're getting their friends and family to vote for them. I had one girl who was a daughter of somebody who I know in the business who had entered. And so I called her. I said, how are you getting all these votes? She goes, well, my uncle's retired military. He has nothing to do all day long except send letters out to his friends and his pals telling them to vote for his niece.
Okay, but then that doesn't mean it's the best quality tape that wins.
Well, that's true. And we do reserve a few spots for staff selections. So then we get to our finalists of 25 kids, and then from there I have a group of celebrity judges who determine the winners. And that's really when push comes to shove. And I always say, thank goodness I'm not part of that judging team, because I'm a softie. I'd have to let them all in.
Right. Everybody wins.
But we have Mark Cuban, who I'm sure you're familiar with. He owns the Dallas Mavericks. He owns HDNet, now Access TV.
Okay.
He's on the Shark Tank. We have George Pinocchio, who's an entertainment reporter for KABC out of Los Angeles. Ben Lyons, whose family has been in the review business for a long time, and Thelma Adams.
And so we're talking about Kids First, the Coalition for Quality Children's Media. And, I mean, the bigger question here is, first of all, how much media are kids watching? And are they watching too much? Are they watching it with awareness? Do they have media literacy tools? How are you teaching these tools?
Those are all good questions. Statistically, kids are spending more time, more screen time, as they refer to it today, than ever before. And that means on their phone, on their laptop, on their tablet, on TV, at the movies, you know, all those things combined. And they spend more time on screen than they do in school every week. But the thing is, and this is why what I think is so important, is to teach them how to make critical choices. Again, it goes back to the whole idea of educating that child to make good choices for themselves, rather than having the parent be the gatekeeper or somebody else in their life being the gatekeeper. If the child is educated to make their own good choices, they're going to be much more successful than the parent saying, you can watch, you know, Discovery or Disney or Nickelodeon and nothing else. You know, that's not going to fly, because as soon as the parent is out of the room, they're going to watch whatever they want to.
The channel. Well, and also their peers, even if they're not allowed to, their peers are watching it, and then they're outsiders.
Exactly, yeah.
So how do you teach them? What skills do you teach them?
Well, we go through, we have an extensive media literacy program that we use on our website, but the kids who we select to be our film critics go through a very extensive 6-week period where we train them what to look for, what to talk about. And it's not just media literacy, it's also they're looking at production values, they're looking at what makes a film a film? Who are all the other people behind the camera that contribute to bringing that production to the forefront? Most kids when they start out are drawn primarily to the on-camera talent. They don't think about what the director did and what the writer did and the production designer. And gosh, never thought about how important those people are to make a film a film.
Right.
So it's a pretty thorough program in that way. And necessary because, of course, we don't want to send them out on an assignment until they feel prepared to handle it. So we do this all long distance because the kids are all over the country. So we do conference calls with them once a week for 6 weeks, and then they have assignments after each call.
So they're all Skyping basically together?
Yes. Yeah, we're Skype maniacs. Thank goodness for Skype.
So do you also teach them things like how to analyze the ways in which commercials are trying to sell things to you?
We don't. You know what? All the media literacy programs do that. And to my mind, they focus a little bit too much on commercials, and they don't think about the content of the programming. Because today, face it, the majority of people watch television using some sort of a DVR, and they skip through the commercials.
Oh, which interesting.
So why spend all your time talking about the impact of those commercials when nobody's watching them?
You know, the people who make commercials must be having a hard time.
Well, they are finding new ways to embed their brand into the brains of their consumers. I mean, if you watch American Idol, the cups sitting on the table for all of the judges have a certain brand.
Right.
Which we won't mention here.
Product placement.
Product placement, yeah. Product placement has become very... And also American Idol gives away cars to their contestants. And they do a... they make a commercial for that car company as part of their, you know, presentations that they do.
Right, right. Now, when we talk about quality children's media, what do you think are... Let's talk about the best and the worst. Maybe let's start with the best. What do you think are some really great examples of media that it's worthwhile for kids to be watching?
Well, I think that, you know, as I say to my kids when they're reviewing films, because kids are very tough critics, let me tell you, that much more tougher than adults at the get-go. And I have to remind them that there are very few perfect films.
Right.
So I said, be a little bit forgiving on this, or you're going to be bashing absolutely everything. And then there's other kids who love everything. So we try to bring everybody to a middle point where they're analytical, but they're not looking for lots of problems in the films. That being said, I will say that two of the films that we just released reviews of last week are new films that are in the theaters now. Frozen, which is a new Disney film by the former Pixar team. I saw it 2 weeks ago in L.A. We did a film critics boot camp with a group of kids in L.A. who want to enter our competition. It was a one-day mini boot camp where we just taught them as much as we could in a one-day period of time. And it ended by going on to the Disney lot and watching a sneak peek of Frozen, which is a brilliantly animated film, basically based on the traditional Hans Christian Andersen story, The Snow Queen, with some significant changes. In The Snow Queen, as you might remember, it's a brother and a sister who are the children in the story. In this, it's two sisters, and the two sisters are princesses. One has the unfortunate talent of being able to turn everything to ice. It's an absolutely stunning presentation. The animation at parts of this when she creates this ice castle is just like, wow, my mouth dropping. Everybody in the audience is going, ooh, I could live there.
And so the young people get to be part of this, and I would imagine that at least some of them get the bug to go into that line of work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of the kids that I have who are from L.A. are definitely geared to perform either on camera or behind the camera. I mean, they're very serious, I'd say filmophiles, and see themselves as having a career in film in some way, shape. Not so much in other parts of the country. And I always tell the kids when we do our training with them that not to think that there being a Kids First Film Critic is a career opportunity, because in reality, there are only 30 paid film critics in the country.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Good heavens.
Yeah. So Don't think that that's where you're headed. But on the other hand, as I tell them, learning to speak intelligently before a group of people on camera is something that every CEO needs to know.
Right.
And every politician.
Right. And pretty much anybody.
Pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're talking to Rani Levy from Kids First, the Coalition for Quality Children's Media. So we have talked a little bit about the competition. There's going to be a free screening of one of these films, namely Planes, on December 7th. That's this weekend. What is that? This Saturday.
Yep.
At the Jean Cocteau Cinema. So basically, kids can show up for that. And what's the age range?
7 to 15.
Okay.
It's probably a little bit young for 15-year-olds, but, you know, it's a free screening. And
what,
we're going
the movie Planes?
Right, yeah. And we'll be coaching the kids on how to enter the competition. They can submit a review of Planes, or they can choose one of the other films that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But, the opportunity to come and get a little bit of coaching before they enter the competition is really the purpose of this event.
And basically anybody who wants to go can go, not just young people. So
yes.
Our listeners may all go to the free screening of Planes and bring their young budding film critics.
Right, yep.
Excellent. So if people want more information, they can go to the website kidsfirst.org. They can come to the Jean Cocteau Theater. What time is it at on Saturday?
9:30 on December 7th.
In the morning?
In the morning, yes.
9:30 in the morning.
You know what? When you're a kid, you're up at 9:30. And when you're a parent of a kid, you're up at 9:30.
Yeah, right. Good point. Rani Levy is the founder and president of the Coalition for Quality Children's Media, kidsfirst.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. What a pleasure. I so appreciate the opportunity.